students. Have you stumbled in your course and want a fresh start? Well, At the Best University has your back. AU offers more than 850 courses that align to your program, so you can retake your course online, turn that grade around, improve your GPA, explore new subjects, and study from anywhere. Visit atthebestu.ca to browse our online courses and transform your education today.
I never realized what love was until I met you. I thought the fame would make me happy till I tasted the juice, the Kool-Aid. It's just a game we pay to play by their rules. It's like a double date with Satan, got us playing the fool, but who knew? You come around and show me the light. Imagine coming home to hang with you would bring me to life. You're like the laces to my sneakers, you're the air to my Nikes. I've had a bad experience, but I would make you my wife. Without a second thought, I disregard my dreams for your hand. Don't need a DJ at the wedding, cause I'm bringing the band. The ring of gold around your finger, cause I love you to death. And on the days that I'm away, believe I'm holding my breath.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
You show me love bigger than mountains and deeper than seas. You photosynthesize the air and make it easy to breathe. I'm like a dancer after practice, feeling weak in the knees. And not a thing could ever split us up like Snoop and his trees. We both know I fucked it up way back at the start. I was stupid and it almost made a mess of your heart. I can't pretend I never wonder if you leave me someday. But the way you look at me, I know I should believe what you say. It was November when you really started feeling away. You took your time and played it cool cause you were feeling afraid. You were the victim of a man I'd like to hunt down. I wasn't with you when it happened, but I'd love to fuck him up now. There's not a woman less deserving than you to have to carry all the memories of the things you've been through. So if you let me, I'll be with you for the long run. Now let me step out of this booth and give you kisses cause the song's done.
We're back. We're not back. We just started.
We're back for the first time.
We're back for the first time. James Favrin.
What's up?
In the house. This is a new setup we have.
This is great. I love it. I'm a fan.
Yeah, we're in a different location. We're not
secret location, we're underground.
We're not live. This is a pre-record. We're changing things up, moving into 2025.
We've arrived.
We've arrived to 2025. This is recorded January 1st.
Yep.
It's really exciting.
It is a great start to the year.
Great start to the year. How has the first, I don't know, 8 hours been for you? Has it been eight, like maybe 12?
No, well, I woke up at 9:30 cause I went to bed at 4:00. So, I don't know what time it is now. It's 3 o'clock. It's been good. I had like a nice slow start to the day. I crashed at my friend's place last night and we both slept in and, then I did he lives in Parkdale.
Yeah.
And I walked over to Union cause I was in Toronto. So it was like a 6 kilometer walk to start my day, which was nice. Beautiful weather for January 1st. And then caught a train out here.
You've been on Brody's show. Mm-hmm. You've also helped. He's got some stuff coming out in 2025, which is really exciting.
That's the hope, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully it's coming out.
And never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Fingers crossed.
And so for those who don't know, what do you do here in the city or just in the arts in general?
So I'm a full-time artist, which is kind of amazing to be able to say. My primary mediums are music and fashion. So I sing and rap is my full-time job. And then I have a clothing line called the Better Days Club. And more recently, I've gotten into building stuff and making physical art pieces. And I was in... I work at Adobe Chief Studios, so I was part of this immersive art exhibit where I got to build a room that got to come in and be a part of. So I just get to make art for a full-time job, which is pretty amazing.
Awesome. So it's like multimedia.
Yeah.
You're doing the music and stuff. And every time I meet you, I'm learning something new. So when I first met you, it was like, okay, he's a rapper.
Yes.
And then I learned that you used to be a singer. You sang previously.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned that at a jam session that we were at a few weeks ago, that you're a drummer.
I am. That was my first instrument. My sweater sleeve is tight, but I have a snare drum tattoo. That was my first tattoo, and was my first instrument.
Okay, so I gotta know, how did you get into the drums?
That was just by like proxy. I was six when I started drumming, and my parents did this Christian missionary like training program thing in BC, and we lived on like a residency, I guess, with a bunch of people, and there was a common hall, and there was a drum set and a bunch of musicians. So I was just a kid with a drum set around, and I learned how to play, and then developed that into like I played drums in like some like punk bands in my teens and stuff, and then I got like hired to do session stuff for like studio and for live performances, and then I was playing at like big church conferences and stuff like that. But then I got like pigeonholed into it. I started to want to write songs and sing and like get experience the stage from the front of the stage. And nobody gave me opportunities because I was a really good drummer and those are hard to come by. So nobody gave me the chance. So then eventually I was just like, I'm done with drums. I'm not playing anymore. And I quit for a couple years. And now I get to like enjoy it when I jump behind a kit with like friends to jam out.
So do you play drums live anymore?
No, I imagine at some point be fun to like incorporate it into a live show. But I don't always get to play with a band either. Like most of the time I'm performing, it's either solo or just my guitar player. So at some point be fun to. Yeah. I don't say no to too much when it comes to the performing arts.
I love it.
Yeah.
I have too many questions at this point. But I think it's cool that you're changing. So when did you start getting into singing, and when did that turn into rapping, and how did that evolution happen for you coming as someone who came from drums?
Yeah, so the big spark for singing came from a band that I saw perform at Massey Hall, and the front man was just like so enthusiastic and good and fun and energetic, and really got to like, he like climbed the balcony and like really got into the room, and I was like, that's the experience I want to provide for people. And I don't get to do that as much behind the drums. I was always a very like, even as a drummer, would like engage with the audience and like very much in that world. But that was like the moment that I was like, oh, I want to like, that's the job that I want. And then I just bought a guitar. I'm self-taught for all the instruments that I play. So I just bought a guitar and was like, I got to figure this out, learn some chords and stuff. And then just like learned how to sing. I'd been around music my whole life and grew up like singing in churches and stuff. So I like knew the basics of singing. Just started writing songs. And then I start my first like written songs were very like singer songwriter ballad kind of stuff.
How old were you?
Maybe like 20, 21.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then I did a little EP that was very singer songwriter and or like folk-ish kind of. And then I moved out to like the country when we had my first kid, Jax. And then I ended up opening up a recording studio with a couple other like local guys that were out there. And they were all like older dudes that were like blues rock guys. So then I ended up writing a bunch of blues rock songs and made a record, which was cool. Started playing shows. I played drums and guitar and everything on that album. But then when I wanted to start performing it, I needed to put a band together. So I did that, started playing those songs. But I was like, I love the blues in like small doses, but I was never like a blues guy. I was never a folk guy. I was never a singer songwriter, like listener. So I had no personal connection to these like genres. I'm just versatile and can do and like can learn. So I did that. And then went through a divorce and COVID hit, and I like took a break from music for a little bit and was like, I need to, let me just like, the world stopped, you know, there was no performing, there was none of that kind of stuff happening. And I was also like going through a divorce. So I, my whole world was like, I needed to just really, and I had three kids, right? So I'm like, I need to be present for them, and the world is slowed down and everything. And then at the, like, once we kind of got back, once COVID was like kind of ending, I had written this song called Lovers when I was still living in the house with my ex-wife. And it was about that experience. And then I had reached out to my friend Josh, who's now my guitar player, because he had opened up a recording studio. And I was like, I would love to like really produce this song and like give it, like make it like a pop ballad, because that's what it was. So we ended up doing that, and that was amazing. And I put a lot of push behind that song. We ended up getting, like, I think they played it on The Edge once or something, and some really cool stuff. We did a bunch of the like the media rounds with like CH Morning Live and CTV and all those kind of things. And then I had this next song lined up called Enough of You. Recorded that song, and then when we were producing that song, we ended up putting this organ in the end, like in the last chorus, because I just love gospel. So we put this organ in the last chorus, and then I loved it so much, I was like, let me send me that loop. So I just took the loop of that organ home, and I made some like drums underneath it, and I sat with that instrumental for a while because I couldn't like write a singing song to it. And at that point I had moved to Hamilton and was hanging out with like with Brody and K Triggs and like some of the like hip hop scene in Hamilton here. And rap was like my first love. Like as a kid, I grew up in Toronto in Rexdale, and like rap was like the music that was like, it's the closest to my heart. And I grew up in the, like in the culture of hip hop, like socioeconomically and stuff. So, yeah, then I ended up writing the verses for Better Days, which are rap verses. And, that was totally unplanned, and I never expected to get into hip hop, even though I like, this is my favorite. I'm so lucky that I get to do it, because my favorite genre. So I ended up writing the verses for that song and the chorus. And then I reached out to LT and was like, hey, I kind of like feel like a cosign on my first like hip hop song is a good idea. You know, like,
what do you mean by that? Sorry.
Well, just like he was an established hip hop artist in the scene. And I was like, this is my first rap song. I need like, I need a rapper to jump on it and just give me the like, welcome to the community kind of thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And he did, which was amazing. And people really received that song super well. And then like performing that song was the first time as a like singer vocalist that I was like so comfortable on stage. It was the first song that I was like, this is, I get to just be myself. And so then I was like, I guess I'm a rapper now.
Okay. I love that.
And now I'm making hip hop.
I love it.
Yeah.
So tell me about this song. Like when you're coming up with the lyrics and stuff like that, like what about the lyrical content? What about the lyrical content speaks to you and like makes you feel maybe your most true self when you're on stage?
Well, it's mostly about my kids, which is great. It's a very like positive song, which I try to be a positive person and influence. And then just like the writing of the song was like literally the opening line of the verse is like, I've been spending far too long in my head by myself. And I started writing that verse in my head when I was shoveling snow in the cold, in the wintertime, in my head, thinking about this song that I had like this instrumental that I've been sitting on for a month, couple months at that point. So the lyrics were literally just me telling the story of me digging into that song. And then it kind of evolved into sharing about my kids, which they're like my favorite people and part of everything that I do. That song I think is just like, it's, if I was a song, it would be Better Days.
I love that.
Which is kind of cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do your kids know that that's about them and all of that?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they made the connection, yeah.
Yeah, they, my, was it one of the, I can't remember which one of the lyrics, but my, But Bo used to like bug me about one of the lyrics because he thought I was like making fun of them. And I was like, no.
Did you remember the lyric?
No, I can't remember one it was. I have to go through it again. But yeah, he was like, he like misunderstood it or whatever. But they love it. I reference Pokemon and Minecraft and stuff. Like they know it's about them.
See, I've been spending far too long in my head by myself. I got my worries on display on a shelf. And I will probably bite your head off if you offer me help. Cause where I come from, all your troubles is the cards you've been dealt. And I know I need to cool my jets and take it easy. Cause if something ever happens to my children, they gon' need me. So I take a deep breath and get my feet on the ground. So I can run after this thing that I've been chasing for miles. And if when I finally catch it, that'll be the day that I can grab myself a pillow, kick my feet up and stay a couple of minutes before I mean it again. I'm back on the stage where I belong, and you gon' see that I will never go away. It's gonna be a better day, you gotta find a better way, and even when the storm comes, it never stays, it's gonna be a better day. Okay, look, I ain't got no motherfucking cable, and I'm chilling on my girlfriend's parents' Netflix account. See, I work so I can get some food up on the table, cause my sons are hungry even when there's stuff in their mouth. It's like a bottomless pit full of smart food and snack bars, and they don't wanna spend a single minute in the backyard. Minecraft and Pokemon, give me a break. That screen's a better father than me, and he ain't taking no breaks. I give up, and here we go, I'm back in my head. I grab a book and cozy up, cause I'll be here till I'm dead. So if you're living like you haven't got a clue in the world, just keep pretending and you'll fit in with the rest of the world. It's gonna be a better day, you gotta find a better way, even when the storm comes, now it stays, it's gonna be a better day. It's gonna be a better day, you gotta find a better way.
Okay, so let's talk about the visual side of things.
Yeah.
So obviously, like music videos, how important? How important? I don't know if I want to ask this question, but I'll just kind of throw a general one at you.
Sure.
How important is a music video? How important is the visual aspect on stage? And how do you know as an artist where to spend your energy visually?
Oh, that's such a good question. My approach is like is that I'm building a world for people, whether it's one song or a show or a music video or whatever. So, and we live in a very visual, like, society, and especially with social media content now. So, there's such a fine balance between simplicity and immersion, I think. And I think finding that like sweet spot between being able to do something that's like that I can do for free, by like I can execute for free by myself, whether I'm like shooting a video on my own in a room somewhere and I have to be able to execute it and edit it in all that stuff by myself. So finding that simplicity, but not allowing the simplicity to take away from like how the viewer receives that experience and how immersed into it they are, into that piece of content. That's always like what I'm looking for, is how can I create something that's simple enough, but still like is immersive for people. And whether that's, again, like live shows, like I love, right now I'm like building some new stage props, and I've bought some lighting and I'm programming lights and stuff to like really build the shows. Cause, I think like that's always been the thing, is like, no matter what medium people are taking in the art from, I want them to like get lost in it. So it's very important to me.
So as far as your live setup,
yeah,
you're building a set,
yeah,
which I think is amazing.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of artists, I wish a lot of artists, musicians took more time into it, but it's maybe it's not their forte, or maybe they are insecure about it. Who has inspired you to take this step into more of the performance, the visual performance side of things?
It's always been something for me. Like when, so my like my moment of realization for what I wanted to do with my life came when I was a teenager. I was a big Blink-182 fan, and they have this old documentary called The Urethra Chronicles 2. And there's a section in that documentary about like them being on tour. Mm. And at that point, I was still a drummer. And I remember, like, I remember just, like, watching the movie, and it got to that tour life sequence, and it was just, like, so crazy, and something clicked, and I was like, that's the thing that I want to do for the rest of my life. And all three of those guys were such a great example of, like, caring about every detail. Like Travis would have a new drum set for every tour, and it was very aesthetically intentional. And Tom and his guitars, and like the whole thing. But for the live shows, like, I think I've forgotten the question a little bit, but I'm going to answer something. I just like another big like influence into that was a piece of advice that I had heard years ago from, I think it was like an A&R or a booking agent, and they were talking about live shows, and they said your show should always be too big for the room that you're in. So, and the reason for that is because, especially as someone who's like pursuing being a touring artist, the thing is like, if there's an agent at your show, or a manager, or a tour, or anybody in the touring world, and they happen to stumble into Mills Hardware and catch you performing, they want to see something that they, all they have to do is make a phone call and put you on stage at a bigger venue. They don't want to have to develop anything. They don't want to have to develop your stage presence. They don't want to have to develop your like technical side, like how you're running your tracks, or do you know how to use, like how to like perform within your monitors, like things that happen at a higher level. Do you have lights? Do you have all these things? Like, so that was like such a big piece of advice that really hit me a long time ago. And so that's always been the thing for me. It's been like, okay, generally speaking, if I look back at last year, what is like the sort of average size of venue that I'm performing, and assuming that that's going to stay pretty much the same for the next year, what am I doing to be too big for those rooms next year? So this year, fine. I like got into some new rooms. I wasn't like, I expanded a little bit and I fit those spaces, and that was great. Now I'm going to assume that I'm back in those spaces again this year, but now I have to expand to outgrow those rooms so that next year I start to move into bigger rooms, right? Because you have to give yourself time to grow. So that's a big thing. It's just like, And like, as far as influences go, Tyler Creator is like such a huge influence for me, as far as like everything he does is outrageous and just like so immersive and captivating and like so huge and expansive. And I can't remember if it was like his Coachella set or something a couple years ago, he had like a boat on stage. And the way even that was like, so he had a boat on stage, like a full boat, like a yacht or whatever, or not a yacht, but like a like fancy looking sailboat. But even his approach to that, instead of having the boat, like the nose of the boat face the audience, he had it sideways because it made more sense on the stage. But what he did was when he performed on the boat, he had two people come up and hold a backdrop behind the boat, and then on the main projector screens, the camera was facing the front of the boat. So the audience is seeing him sideways, which is a little awkward, although he's also turning and performing to the crowd. But in his mind, what he's thinking about is in this moment of the show, the primary visual is the screen. So I'm going to cater to that screen for a moment. And even though someone else might look at that and be like, That's the dumbest thing in the world. Why would you set yourself up sideways to the audience? But in his brain, he's like, I don't care what the rules are. What I want to create is in this moment, I want the audience to see the boat head on, which means we're going to utilize the projector because it just makes it. So, like, I just love the way that he like thinks outside the box on angles and visuals and all that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, like Blink was a big influence on that stuff growing up. I love pyrotechnics. I was recently pitching to Lisa, actually. I sent her some like cold firework machines and was like, have you ever used these? And she's like, no. I was like, we should talk about an opportunity to try them.
Cold fireworks?
Yeah, so they're like the they're basically like pyro machines that are designed for like inside venues.
Oh.
So just like it basically just like it's shoots like up a fire like a sparkler.
I was gonna say like a sparkler, yeah, birthday sparkler.
It's exactly the concept, but instead of being like a stick, it's like a sand kind of thing, and it just like it's like popcorn. It like heats it up and then it like sparks upward, but it's cold. You can put your hand in it.
Sounds like it's one of those like ask for forgiveness. Not permission.
Which is a big thing for me. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're just mad expensive. They're like $1,500 a piece or whatever. And
yeah. I think it's interesting everything you're saying there about artists kind of taking liberties and doing things that people wouldn't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel this is more of just a perspective thing, and I wouldn't mind your perspective on it.
Yeah.
But I feel like many musicians and artists who are performing live, like, they play it safe.
Yeah.
Because they see other artists also play it safe.
Yeah.
Agree, disagree, comment, no comment.
It's hard to say because I don't, like, I'm not in their minds. There's like a couple different personalities of James. And one of them, the like, I guess harsher, more forward James would say, I think people are lazy and they don't care enough.
Right.
So there's like that side. I think there's definitely a lot of artists who take for granted that people come to shows and people support the music and they just like don't have the drive to like give it more effort, and to them I say go away. I think some people, it's definitely a risk to try something.
Well, because I think about like in the hip hop space, for example, right?
Yeah.
Like you think about like Tyler the Creator, who's like a great example of someone who's like doesn't give a shit. He's just gonna do what he's doing, and it works really well. Whereas like some people be like, well, I don't want to look like a fool in front of this artist, or I want to like try and act like this artist, even though they may not have that personality.
Yeah, well, you're dumb then. Be yourself. That's the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah,
I think if that's your like reasoning, then like, yeah, go make friends with yourself.
Mm.
Because I think everyone's dope and like has great ideas and like the like people are at the show, people are supporting you. The art is the extension of you, but at the end of the day they are a fan of you as a person, right? That's why we're in a world where people we have kind of like developed this necessity to share more of who we are with our audience, because that is really what people are there for. And I think even the risks that come across a little corny on stage, people still care that you tried something, right? And they'll come up afterwards and be like, I love that you did that thing. And, you know, you might be like, yeah, bombed, or it was like, I know it was corny or cheesy or whatever. But people care. And there's moments, like I had a moment, I played a show at the Rivoli not too long ago, and, I was gonna open with Confident, which is off the mixtape, and it's like a really it's not really fast compared to things, but like for me it's like faster lyrics and like really like rap heavy song, and I wanted to like use it to get the crowd going. It's got a great like rocky intro and stuff, like it's cool song. So I said to the lighting guy, I was like, or to the sound tech who also runs the lights there, I was like, hey, I kind of like threw him this idea, like, can you turn the lights off at the beginning and then when the song comes on, blah, blah, blah. He was like, yeah, man, I got you, no problem. But then something inside of me was like, I didn't follow through with it. And it was the right choice. Part of it was like, I realized that the artist before me and the like, the energy of the room at the end of their performance was great, but it wasn't like, it was very like wholesome and poppy and whatever. And it was going to be such a big shift to go into like heavy rap, like right off the bat. So part of it was just like reading the room. It felt more like, felt more like a Harry Styles show than an Eminem show. So I was like, I ended up just going up on stage. He turned the lights down. He was ready to roll and do his thing. And I was like, can we get the lights back up? And I just addressed it. I was like, guys, give a shout out to Tyler. Like, I gave him these instructions. He just nailed it. I'm totally not doing it. And it's just because I think that this is a better way to start the show. So I think like, even if you do plan something corny or have an idea and you decide to cancel it, just tell people. It's cool. Like, they will still understand. Like, it brings people into the reality of your experience as the performer. Because, like, people want that, like, human side of the artist. They want this, they want this really, really, really fine balance of, like, I can tell that you put a lot of work into preparing an experience with this show, but I also want you to be very human. So you kind of have to find those moments to like balance those things out. And I actually love that dance. It's one of my favorite things because I love preparing stuff. I love planning stuff. I love scripting moments and whatever. And then I love like the spontaneity of what happens on stage.
Today it was a rainy one, going through some feelings, and I'm feeling like a lazy bum. I made myself a sandwich but don't really feel like eating. Something's on the TV but I'm staring at the ceiling. My friends are all busy and I don't care anyway. I'd probably bum them out and we just talked about it yesterday. Instead I went looking for that happiest beat that I could find online, cause rapping gets me back on my feet. And now I'm feeling kinda better, even if it's just a little. Take a moment with my dog and join her staring out the window. It's the little things in life that bring the most happiness. A burger's kinda plain unless you top it with some condiments. A song is just some words until you sing it with the melody. And life is kinda wasted if you're not creating memories. So give yourself a minute to breathe. Everything will be alright in a day or two. Just wait and see. I'll be alright on my own now. Don't you fret about the past now. It's out of your hands and the future's coming fast down the runway. And one day you'll see it all clear. You always kinda hated how they nagged in your ear. And the way they wash dishes and never put their clothes away. Yeah, they're cute now, but what about when they're old and gray and saggy in the skin? Grumpy till their pills kick in. Still watching shows that were canceled back in 2010. Deep breath. I'm not here to bitch about my exes. I just kinda wish I hadn't spent so many checks on dates that left me lonely and gifts I can't return. Of course I got my walls up, these bricks have all been earned, but I'ma focus on my friends and writing songs for you to learn, so we can sing them out together and serenade the universe. Don't that sound so sweet? Drinks up, sing it out, bring that hook back please. I'll be alright on my own now.
I think that's why a lot of musicians, like live musicians, do it and continue to do it, because there is that like thread the needle. There's that terrifying fight or flight, and, mm-hmm. and like, oh my god, like I've got to make it happen. Yeah. Like there's no other option. I'm on the stage.
Yeah.
And that's like, I mean, I think that's why I'm in it, and I find most people who I chat with, they have a similar love for it. I think what you're doing is really cool, when you're trying to, you know, obviously make a performance, but also being human. And I think especially in the world of like, you know, digital AI, and it's like it's going to replace artists, this and that, like there is still this part where it's like humans want humans. And I mm-hmm. think that I think the more we kind of tap into that live essence, I think that's really useful.
100%.
I want to ask a question. So you mentioned like some of your influences. You talked about Blink 182. Talked about you said Eminem a second ago. Tyler the Creator, and you mentioned you grew up in Rexdale.
Yeah.
And so I went to school in Rexdale for a year.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I went to Humber for a year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, North Campus, yeah.
So I have some familiarity.
Yeah.
And I want to know, someone who, you know, obviously, like, lived in different areas and played different genres, like, how did growing up in Rexdale influence your love for hip-hop?
What was, like, it was the music that spoke about what I lived. Like, I had friends that were getting shot and killed and gang violence and drug stuff and whatever. Like, so it was just like, it was talking about the culture that I grew up in. So it just kind of, it was like, it was very natural. I think it also like, it also gave me a sense of like possibility for, 'cause the thing is like when you, like, it's hard to break cycles and have and like pat like family generational stuff or whatever, and like when you don't come from money, it's hard to change that. Like, it's hard to create generational wealth when you don't come from it. And so I think hip-hop was always this thing where it's like, well, if they can do it, especially using music, having been, you know, a musician my whole life, like if these guys can figure it out and like get out of this using music, then I can. It's a long journey and it takes time, whatever, but like I think that was such a big part of it too, was like, a, the relatability of like, yeah, these songs are telling stories that I live on a daily basis, but then like the videos, because I was a big, like, I watched so much BET growing up. I was like, so like the music videos and just like the personalities was, yeah, just like some inspiration that like, okay, I can use music to create wealth, to create a life for myself. And it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's exhausting, and, you know, it's a lot of work, and it takes so much discipline and it takes sacrifice. And the culture has changed so much, like the culture of music, not like hip hop, that's changed a lot too. But just like how you make music as an artist has changed, and like the statistics and, like streaming services, the way that like people can just like see how many people have listened to your songs, which can be daunting, but you could also like solve that problem by paying for streams and stuff. Like, it's just such a, it's become such a complicated thing, which again is why like live performances are where my heart is, because like you can't fake that.
Yeah,
you either put on a good show or you don't. You know what I mean? Like, there's no faking that. You can have a great director and a great and like a budget that helps you like make a great video, you know, and you can have a great distribution team or deal that like, even if you're not like technically paying for streams, is like running your numbers up or getting you placements on radio and like, you know, getting all that Spotify playlisting and all that kind of stuff. Like, you can kind of pay to solve some of those problems, but you can't pay to put on a good show. Yeah. You either do or you don't, you know? And I'm like, yeah, baby, give me that.
Yeah.
'Cause that I can do, yeah. You know?
Yeah, no, it's fascinating, because it's like, here we are, we're doing an interview, like, this isn't music, but this is all a part of it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you're doing, like, video your content, you're doing live performances, you're doing interviews. Oh, you also have to write music, like, you're a musician, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, for you, going to 2025, and I'm not sure when this is going to get released in the next few months, but it's definitely, for those who are saying this is January 1st,
yes.
Where we're recording this, so it's like, today's the day to ask this question.
Yeah.
What are the goals for you as an artist for 2025?
My word for this year is expansion. So I think, like, I definitely want to... I've never cared about streams and, like, and numbers on the internet. That being said, I recognize the, like, the on the business side, how it's impactful. So that's, like, something that I have... intentions to, like, expand this year is, like, just get better, just figure out what my, like, what my more formal approach to, like, my presence on the internet is, especially with streams, and with, like, utilizing social media, like, ads and promotion and that kind of stuff to, like, make sure that more people are seeing the content. Because the thing is, like, I want more people to see it because I want a tour, and you need to have people in those cities that have seen your music before you get there, you know, things like that. So learning how to, like, develop that business plan is a goal for this year. I also, I just had this idea yesterday, or not yesterday, 2 days ago, I think, that I want to do a collaboration with the McMaster Marching Band. Because I've always loved, like, I grew up as a drummer. Like, we didn't have a drum corps in our school growing up, but I always thought that would be such a cool thing to, like, be a part of. And I love marching bands and stuff. So I was just thinking the other day, like, what would be kind of a fun collaboration to do this year? And yeah, so I'm going to, that's on the books for, like, the next sort of week or two, is to try to kind of reach out to the marching band director and be like, hey, this is who I am. I would love to, you know, and maybe we could, like, I think the goal is, there's a big festival every year in Hamilton that people know about. It's called Supercrawl. So that would be a really cool place to do a performance, you know, where you, like, maybe close out the show with, by bringing out the McMaster Marching Band. And I think that'd be a real cool look for the city. Like, bring everybody together. You know, main stage at Supercrawl with, like, a local artist putting on a great show and bringing out, you know, Max Marching Band and doing a cool thing. So that would be a really, really, it's out of my hands, but I'm, like, I'm speaking it to manifest it.
Is it out of your hands?
100%.
Now we're getting psychological, or not? Now we're getting philosophical. But, like I feel like it kind of, yeah, it is out of your hands. But I mean, like, you have the ability to make it happen for
sure,
yourself.
Sure. Yeah. And the good thing is, like, for me, it's never about the. I'm never tied to the result. So, like, if, because Supercrawl announcements for, like, who performs happened in, like, March or April or something like that, I think, yeah. Right? So if we don't, if it doesn't happen with Supercrawl, we have an incredible CFL team. Reach out to those guys. Yeah. They got games. We can put on a halftime show at Tim Hortons Field. Again, it's a Hamilton team. It's a Hamilton school. It's a Hamilton artist. Like, so there's, it's, I'm never tied to, like, the necessarily the, like, the end result. As far as the, like, the practical display, I'm tied to the end result is, like, in the sense of, like, this is something I want to do. And I'm also okay with, like, I trust the universe for timing. Like, if this isn't the year, but I will always, like, reach out, make the connection, try to, like, you know, ask for the thing. Like, you got to ask for things from people, from life, from the universe. You got to ask. So I'll always ask and, like, position myself for things. But if it doesn't happen, like, who cares?
Yeah.
There's more to do.
Totally.
I'm not, like, I have no lack of, like, projects to work on or create.
I'm on the way up. My pockets is heavy. You catch me outside of the club and I'm stumbling, but on the stage I'm so steady. I'm on the way up. My pockets is heavy.
You catch me outside of the club and I'm stumbling, but on the stage I'm so steady. I made $1 million last week, now I'm just playing. I gotta feed my kids, $50 in the bank, boy, you know I stay praying. Cause the money don't grow on trees and them nudes ain't paying. Can I get a hell yeah from the front to the back if you feel what I'm saying?
Hell yeah!
Cause I be up on my shit making moves like a big wig. Still watching cartoons, I'm a big kid. Gotta think about the future of my business. Looking at my paycheck like, what is this? Taxes on taxes, no wonder I'm broke. Even the government's selling that dope. Economy dropping that shit hella low. Politicians be clowning, they telling us jokes. And we eat it up. Treat my line of credit like a middle school bully, beat it up. Steal a beat from YouTube, chop and speed it up. All the stress got me thinking I don't drink enough. Losing weight like an addict, I don't eat enough. But my kids stay fed, tell them eat it up. It's alright, y'all go ahead, I'll be okay. I'm on the way up, my pockets is heavy. You catch me outside of the club and I'm stumbling, but on the stage I'm so steady. I'm on the way up, my pockets is heavy. You catch me outside of the club and I'm stumbling, but on the stage I'm so steady. I don't wanna brag, but I caught this gold chain from Zoomies. Secondhand clothes got me feeling like a new me. Everybody see me in the street saying,
who's he?
Playing on the gram, life looking like a movie. Ah! But it's straight to TV, no Emmy for the role, no awards or groupies. Flexing on the world, you've been duped, the true me is just another dude on the hustle while you sleep. Gotta put the work in, gotta get my act right. Got another show, can't be fucking with no stage fright. Gotta hit the road, gotta catch another damn flight. Messing with my sleep, gonna be another long night. Then I'm up for days, putting money in the bank, this ain't just a phase. You can say whatever you want, but the hands are raised. Crowd singing out with me while I'm on the stage. I'm on the way up, my pockets is heavy. You catch me outside of the club and I'm stumbling, but on the stage I'm so steady. I'm on the way up, my pockets is heavy. You catch me outside of the club and I'm stumbling, but on the stage I'm so steady. I made $1 million last week.
Bro, can you do the cash register thing one more time?
One of my favorite lines that, and we'll, I think we're pretty good on time. We got a few minutes left.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines that I made up, so I'm not like trying to like whatever, but I love this, is like, a year's time is long enough that you can plan for it, but you also have no idea what's going to happen a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So think about yourself beginning of 2024.
Yeah.
Like, did you necessarily expect all the things that happened in 2024 to happen to you?
Oh,
like,
I had no idea that I was going to have a fashion show at Supercrawl in 2024.
Okay.
In January.
Yeah.
No, even like, the concept didn't even exist. I had just started making pieces for myself. That's all I was doing. I was just taking, I didn't want to be making merch because I don't love just like basic merch for people to buy.
Wearing like James Favreau.
The Better Days stuff. Yeah.
I didn't, when you said merch, I didn't know if it was referring to like Better Days. Or you as an artist.
I never really think about James Favreau on merch. I'll get into that when my name is cooler, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's
cool,
no, man.
It's cool. You're there. But
the Better Days stuff. Yeah, it started off with me just like pulling pieces out of my closet and customizing them and making TikToks about it. And then people liked it. And the result is that we had a fashion show in Supercrawl this year with like 15 models, and I performed, and like it was amazing, you know. And now the like growth from that, we're having our first ever like brand party and venue later on this month, which will be really fun. And like growing that, so but yeah, like there's, it really is, it's a fine line because like a lot can happen in a year. But if you're not putting work in, then nothing will happen. Like, you'll just keep doing the same year over and over again. Maybe you go on a vacation and like that's your big, but like for some people that's also like that's enough. They're like, oh yeah, I went to Cuba for a week this year. That was like a good year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, some people have careers or whatever where like they don't need to expand beyond what they're doing.
Yeah,
like, that is their thing.
Yeah,
but for someone like you're like an artist, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't know, you're gonna apply to all these different things, you're gonna meet someone somewhere, and I guess I'm speaking to you, but I'm kind of speaking to the audience here. You're gonna meet people who you didn't think you were gonna meet at a random spot that you weren't expecting to meet anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that might change things, and it also might not. Like, you're gonna meet a lot of people who you just meet them, they're just another person. But sometimes like it's like, it just clicks and it works. And even like you're talking about like the marching band, like okay, maybe they love the idea, but they already have their 2025 pegged.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that 2026, like,
yeah,
the sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
And you know, they might love hip hop. Maybe they've been like, they looked at, you know, some stuff that's happened in the past and like, I want to do something like that. And yeah, now you're this guy who comes in and does. So I guess what I'm saying out loud to everybody is yeah. And to kind of echo your points, like, make the plans.
Yeah.
Send the emails, contact the people.
Yeah.
Reach out.
Yeah.
It won't turn out the way you mapped it, but it's going to turn out great. And yeah, oftentimes, and this is like, you know, whatever saying, like, turns out better than you expected.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. You never know what, like, there, you never know what's going to come from something. And also, like, as a reminder for anybody specifically in the creative world, but like also in business and other things, like, I see a lot of people, who like make assumptions about like, oh, if I could just like connect with this person, this specific person, it could change everything for me. And thing is, like, maybe, but at the same time, you're meeting people every day and you don't know what those people could do for you. And so when you're so hyper focused on like, I need to like build a relationship with this A&R at this label because I want to be signed to Warner, and I've like, I'm, you know, doing all that I can to like meet this person. It's like, they might not care. Like, they have a career that like it's existing right now. While you're chasing them down, they're chasing dreams down, and you're not the dream they're chasing down because yeah, you're behind everything they've already accomplished. So you need to like, yes, pursue people and build those relationships and build those networks. All that's amazing stuff. But at the end of the day, it's actually so much more important to look around you at the people, because like you, Russ, and like, so especially in Hamilton, but I'm so fortunate to kind of get like, I get two homes. Like, Hamilton and Toronto are both home for me, and I have communities in both spaces. And now even New York, I have some stuff there, which has been so amazing. But like, look around you. There are, you're surrounded by people who could move your dial forward in ways that you're probably like missing. You bring a friend on as like an assistant and they care about you and they're passionate about you, and yeah, you're like, hey, like, could you help me with like emailing for shows?
Yeah.
And they're like, totally. 10 years later, they're your manager and you guys are a touring artist. You totally know what I mean? Like, and build things and with the people around you.
Yeah. And, you know, or even you meet somebody and they end up having a friend who you're like, okay, you meet them at a show, and that friend ends up being this person who is exactly what you need and you're mm-hmm. looking for. And it's just like the web is like, you just don't know. You don't, yeah, there's a whole lot of unknown out there.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, you know, don't be afraid to just to reach out. And it's kind of almost like dating, where it's like oh, I really like this one girl or this yeah. guy. Like, I really want them.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they aren't interested in you.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Like it's, that's not the point. The point is to just get it there and like connect with the people who you connect with.
Yeah. And this, like, I love the dating reference because it is actually language that's used in the creative world a lot, especially in the music industry. Mm. Is like that, like, especially if you're an artist that's trying to like, that wants to get signed at some point, like, you're going to have to like date different managers and A&R people and label people, and eventually someone's gonna like let their guard down and be vulnerable and like what you're doing and you know, want to be involved. On the other side of that, I think more importantly than that, what is like, if you like think of it specifically on the like on the dating example, the way that I always put it, for like for myself as a single person, is like my future partner, like the best, my future partner is doing whatever I'm doing right now.
Yes.
So what kind of person am I attracting?
That's right.
So if I want to attract someone who's driven and successful and financially secure and wealthy in more ways than just money, but also in money, and creative and passionate and compassionate and kind and empathetic, like, I have to be all those things today. And if I'm not those things today, if I'm not working on those things today, then neither is that person. Mm. That's kind of the way I look at it. It's like, who I am today, what did I do today? Because my future partner had the same, if they had the same day that I had today,
yeah,
would I be proud of that? Would I be attracted to that? Would I be pursuing that? Or would I be like, you're close, but you're not exactly what I'm looking for?
Yeah.
And if that's the answer, I got shit to work on for me. And that's because at the end of the day, like, work on you. Don't everyone around you, no matter what, work on you. Make stuff for you. Make content you like. Make music you like. Make art that you like. Do, again, even when, you know, with the live shows, with like trying risky things. If you're into it, do it. If you're not into it, don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to, like, just because Sabrina Carpenter's, like, you know, doing some fun, flirty, sexy stuff on stage and you, like, admire Sabrina Carpenter, doesn't mean you have to start trying to incorporate that into your show if your lyrics aren't talking about that, or if your, like, persona is not that. You can be inspired by that and take elements of that. But, like, again, I'm a big fan of Tyler. I'm not going to start rapping about an absent father. I don't have one. My dad's around. You know what I mean? Yeah, so you can't just, like, try to become the people that you're inspired by, and you can't try to create art and content for the people around you. Mm. You got to make stuff for you, and people will come around. Because, again, at the end of the day, like we said earlier, they're there for you as a person, not even for what you make. Like, at the end of the day, they're like, I'm just proud of you because you make stuff. I think it's dope. I'm inspired by the fact that you make stuff. Not sometimes by what you make, yeah. Sometimes by what you make, no. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what I'm inspired by is that you do stuff. And that's amazing. And I think that's crazy. So that really should be the goal.
I say we wrap it up there, my friend.
Mic drop.
Yeah. James Favrin, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Very quickly, what do you have going on the next, this is January, what do you have going on the next few months?
Well, January, we got a show later this month, but I don't know if this will be out yet. In the next few months, just follow me on Instagram. I post on TikTok sometimes because I'm supposed to, but really, I live on Instagram at James Favrin. Pretty straightforward. Yeah, I have a lot of things in the works that are just like, like I said, I'm building the show. I'm working on a bunch of that stuff right now, and some other like fun, immersive, creative art projects, some more fashion stuff. But I allowed myself December and January to like do some of the physical work, like building props and stuff, which is like time consuming and whatever. So I haven't focused on my calendar yet, because sometimes you gotta, every job has its pros and cons.
Yes.
And one of the cons of this world is administrative stuff and business stuff and keeping your books in order and, you know, creating structure and systems that like help you be more efficient as a business person. And sometimes it means, As an independent artist, it means that like you got to take a couple weeks off from stage and from releasing music and from making content and all the fun stuff to be like, okay, it's tax season. I gotta like, you know, I gotta knuckle down and get my books in order.
What's James doing in March 2025? Yeah. His taxes.
Yeah. Thankfully, my mom's an accountant, so that's a lifesaver.
All right, all right. Yeah. Shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's for me right now. I'm just like, I'm enjoying as much as I can, enjoying the like the creative process of like, of building the stage props and programming the light show, which is coming along really cool. I'm excited for it.
Cool. I'm excited for it too, man. Yeah.